Hi, I'm Rachel Kelly, Associate in the Insolvency and Dispute Resolution team at Cleverfoot and Rankin. In this podcast today, I'm going to cover just some of the practical issues arising for insolvency practitioners in light of COVID-19. With a lot of minds focused at the moment on the easing of lockdown restrictions and the gradual return to what we're calling the new normal, the Bank of England is warning that the coronavirus will push the UK economy towards its deepest recession on record. It's said that the economy is on course to shrink 14% this year, and that's based on the lockdown being relaxed in June. Everyone appears to be at the early stages of preparing for life after what's hoped has been the worst of the pandemic. However, we are still a long way off returning to where we were pre-COVID-19, and even with a gradual easing of restrictions, it appears there will be some element of social distancing and remote working for a long time to come. Insolvency and restructuring practitioners have a key role to play in the economy, especially in the current climate, and they, like all of us, are facing day-to-day practical issues in completing their vital work, which underpins the confidence to support lending and investing in the economy. Here in Northern Ireland, the insolvency service has been closed for almost 7 weeks, with no new instructions being issued to IPs. All existing cases in the bankruptcy, commercial and chancery courts have essentially stalled, and only urgent new applications are being accepted, which obviously has a massive impact on moving current and new insolvency business along in any meaningful way. In respect to the chancery and commercial court cases here, recent guidance was issued on the 24th of April, which shows some movement, confirms that the judges in each case will undertake an administrative review of any cases listed in the weeks commencing 27th of April and 4th of May. Representatives are to complete and lodge a form by email with the office, and where the judge determines a review hearing is required, this will take place on the 18th or 21st of May respectively. Hopefully we'll see some further movement from the court office soon. In England, we've seen a temporary insolvency practice direction which was issued on the 6th of April. This provided some clarity on the filing of out-of-court administration appointments. There, the forms can be filed in an online filing system, and then the timing and the validity of the notices filed online shouldn't be affected by way of a delay by the court accepting the notice. Practice direction also deals with the validity of statutory declarations, which are required to be witnessed by a solicitor, normally with both parties physically in the same room, and which can be defective where they're completed by way of electronic signature. This is particularly relevant in the context of filing of a notice of intention to appoint an administrator or a notice of appointment of an administrator. There is provision for the court to waive any such defects under the insolvency rules, providing that there is no substantial injustice to the parties concerned. Here in Northern Ireland, there's been no practice direction from the bankruptcy court, and we obviously don't have an online filing system. Out-of-court administration applications can still be filed, but do require to be done by physically filing the original paper copies of the notices, and can't be done online or by email, which obviously raises various issues for solicitors and practitioners. Whilst the English practice direction doesn't apply here, it does give some level of guidance on the likely view a court could take on the issue of electronic signatures and statutory declarations, and it remains to be seen whether a similar practice direction will be enacted here in Northern Ireland. In addition to this, there are obviously a range of other practical difficulties for practitioners carrying out their usual roles, which aside from anything else, as we all know, are at times paper heavy, with physical signings and filings, numerous copies of documents physically posted a number of different parties. R3 recently posted a helpful blog article on the 1st of May. It sets out some practical tips and issues which require clarification, and those which otherwise require a degree of initiative from practitioners in the current climate. It discusses a number of helpful issues from signing of documents to holding creditors meetings and issues around obtaining reliable asset valuations. So just to touch on a few points, which are by no means exhaustive, it would be helpful to have an approved protocol or guidance on how to deal with some of the following issues. So firstly, the signing of a statutory declaration where the signer and the witness are not physically in the same room, especially in the context of a member's voluntary liquidation where a statutory declaration of solvency is required. Two, if an insolvency practitioner receives a request from a creditor for a physical meeting, for example, whether this could go ahead. Three, dealing with procedural deadlines which may not be possible to be met in the current circumstances for a variety of reasons. Four, steps to be taken to make urgent modifications to IVAs which are in danger of termination due to the impact on the debtor's income. There's been some movement on this from HMRC, who are saying they're willing to show some flexibility in suspending the usual rule that two missed payments automatically means termination. And lastly, whether the four-month period for RPO claims will be extended if salaries are not paid, but the company doesn't enter an insolvency procedure until some months later. R3, as always, have passed on members' concerns and issues they're encountering to government and regulators, and we'll be keeping a close eye on any responses, hopefully including appropriate guidance. In the meantime, practitioners will just need to do the best they can in the circumstances they find themselves in each individual case, and probably think creatively about things like how to keep creditors in the picture, holding meetings that would normally be held in person, and continuing to seek guidance from trusted agents and other professionals, perhaps in a different way than they did before, and most importantly, documenting any decisions taken and keeping a good record in case required in any future challenge. Thank you for listening. If you require further guidance or have any questions on what I've discussed today, please contact me at r.kelly@cfrlaw.co.uk or on 0778076794.